Now, last year, I caught former Genesis guitarist Steve Hackett and his band playing live on the Genesis Revisited Tour, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Steve on the phone. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thanks. And you've had a busy time. We spoke in January, but you've been absolutely rushing around since then, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. We kicked off the European tour with... we did 7 weeks on the road, 18 countries in 7 weeks, and then we went back and did some more Italian ones. I did some stuff in Hungary and Czech Republic with Jarby, another. Mm. It's another band that I play with from time to time, which is a sort of basically it's 100% improvised stuff.
At the start of the interview, we talked about Genesis Revisited, and that was just under a year ago I caught you live. Tell us a little bit about that tour, because it was a bit different from your usual live performances. There were a lot more people on the stage this time.
Oh, yes, that's right, yeah. Well, we were playing with an orchestra, the Heart of England Philharmonic Orchestra. And so, yeah, by the time we had everyone on stage, band, crew, and orchestra... yeah, there wasn't a lot of room left to swing a cat. And it was an amazing tour.
It sounded fantastic. I mean, how did you choose which songs would sound best with an orchestra? Or did you just have an idea that some songs would work and some wouldn't work?
Well, it's a combination of things. I did a show in Buffalo in the States a couple of years back, and worked with a very gifted conductor, and his brother also writes orchestral arrangements. So they did some of the orchestral arrangements for us. And I'd worked about 3 or 4 years back with an Icelandic band who had done some incredible stuff with John Anderson. Mm. And they did wonderful arrangements of Yes stuff and offered to do the same with some Genesis stuff. So a combination of those two teams came up with the orchestral arrangements. And we did the same show here on the British tour as we did in Buffalo. So many of those songs are from further back, stuff like Supper's Ready, Dancing with the Moonlit Night. And there's some crossover with these sets, you know, because I'm doing Selling England at the moment. And so we do Dancing with the Moonlit Night as part of it. But... I keep calling it DVD, and I'm not sure if they're going to do it on DVD, but certainly going to be CD and Blu-ray, and I'm trying to talk Inside Out into doing it on DVD, because there have been a lot of requests for that, even though, you know, other people will say to me, oh yeah, well, you know, it's only 30 quid to buy a player that does Blu-ray and DVD, of course. So when I updated mine, I thought, there won't be too many complaints, but, you know, some people only have the DVD player, and but the product itself is I think one of the best I've done. It's an extraordinary live gig. As I quipped at the beginning, we got a slightly bigger band than usual, and it's extraordinary. You know, when you've got all those forces on stage. I mean, I played with orchestras occasionally in the past, but I'd never done a whole tour with it, so. Last year we did that, the British tour with that, and we sold out all the dates instantly, and they put in another couple, plus an extra London show. We did the London Palladium as well as the Royal Festival Hall, so it was a busy time.
Yeah,
it was good.
And it's not just the Genesis songs, of course, because some of your own songs really did lend well to having the orchestra behind it. I'm thinking of the Steps. And
In particular, Steps benefited from it, I think. And Shadow of the Hierophant benefited from it. It was just absolutely enormous. It's already an enormous sounding tune in the first place. When you've got, you know, bass pedals roaring away and a drum solo over a fixed melody that's crescendoing. But then when you add the orchestra as well, it's kind of a tidal wave meets an earthquake. Yeah, orchestras meet rock bands. It's an extraordinary thing when it works.
Yeah, and talking of tidal waves, El Nino as well was another one.
Nino, that's right, that's part of it, yes.
It's kind of a tidal wave. Anyway, we spoke earlier this year about At the Edge of Light. That was your 25th studio album. Now, normally people would just get the album out and then you'd tour the album. But, of course, you went straight into the latest Genesis Revisited tour after that. But you've played some of the songs live. How have they been going down?
Very well indeed. As I say, we did 18 countries in 7 weeks, and then we went back for some more. It's been going down extraordinarily well, because, you know, that album, Selling England, has already proved itself. It's very well known, and I think internationally it's probably the biggest seller of all of them still, and it goes right back to the days when we were first touring the States, and John Lennon said that we were a band that he was listening to at that time. Of course, Genesis doesn't exist anymore. You know, hasn't played live for for a very long time. But I want to honour the music. I always loved the music, and with me, you get what I think is the best of the music, and it's free of politics. It's free of fashion, of course. You know, if you're doing something that was invented in 1973, of course, yes, it sounds very different to anything that's current, but I think it's something that's classic versus everything else that might be current.
I don't want you to pick a favourite son, but Selling England by the Pound, a lot of people say it's the definitive Genesis album. Would you agree with that, or would you say that it was part of a series of definitive albums?
Well, it's very kind that you say that it's part of a series of definitive albums, but I'd say for me, it's my favourite Genesis album, for all sorts of reasons. I think it's delightfully eccentric but cohesive. There's something about it that just seems to last, and I can't quite put my finger on it. It was just, you know, it was group written, everyone doing what came naturally to them. And it's probably the most British of all the albums, of course.
I mean, there's been a lot of biographies about Genesis, and a lot of talk about, you know, with all bands, biographies about frictions and people's problems and that kind of thing. But you must have a lot of good and positive memories of recording that album.
I do, yeah. I remember rehearsing it in a house in Chessington, and then having to relocate because neighbours started to complain. And then we moved to... It was a dance school, actually, but it was in Shepherd's Bush, and I remember little girls upstairs doing their first tap dancing stuff. So we were kind of rehearsing in the refectory downstairs, and, you know, we'd hear them making an extraordinary din upstairs every now and again. You thought that the ceiling was going to collapse. And, about 20 of them all going ka-clump-a-dee-clump, ka-clump, ka-clump. It was extraordinary stuff. And so it was, you know, you couldn't help but smile. Whatever we were doing was so different from what was going on. Yeah, the worlds of prog and dance were kind of side by side. They're probably all professional dancers by now.
Yeah, and maybe somewhere they're giving interviews saying, yeah, we had Genesis downstairs and they were making a big din as well.
Yeah, we had this band downstairs that were making a din, and you couldn't dance to any of it, of course.
Now, the other album you're touring is your third solo album, Spectral Mornings, which was a top 30 album in 1979. What are your recollections about writing and recording that? Very different from a dance school in Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah, well, it was my first touring band, and they were very well received by audiences. We recorded in Holland, where it was freezing temperatures, and people were driving cars on frozen lakes. And, really, there was nothing to do. You could either freeze or party. So we had this party in the Hilversum Studios, which is also a radio station, so Phonogram headquarters, this huge studio. And we just had a great time making that album. I mean, it's still a favorite of mine. So live, I'm doing things from three favorite albums. So for me, it's a sort of grand slam show.
The UK leg of your tour is starting again in November, and you've got a couple of dates close to us. We've got the inevitable London date, which is going to be at the event in Apollo, the Old Hammersmith Odeon, on the 29th of November. But on the 27th of November, Cliffs Pavilion in Southend. Now, you're always playing Southend, which is great for us. Is it a bit of a prog hotbed, do you think?
Well, you know, I think in recent years, I've started to play it more often. And I always say to agents and promoters, yeah, you know, you get me a gig and I'll basically play anywhere. But, you know, it's nice for me coming back to Southend. And, you know, I remember going as a kid, and you don't see as much of it as an adult, unless you happen to be a touring musician. So it's always lovely to go back. I think it's a very special place.
Always sells out as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is a hotbed of prog.
Possibly, yeah. Well, we've got the tour coming up. We've got the new CD and Blu-ray, which is out on the 25th of October. So plenty to look forward to. Did I read somewhere as well that you might be sneaking in one or two new songs into the set? Or
Well, let me see. There's, as I say, we do stuff from At the Edge of Light. We have a new drummer, Craig Blundell. There might be some new stuff. Difficult to say.
It can only be a matter of time before album number 26 arrives.
Right? I know. I am recording at the moment new stuff. So jury's out on that one. It all depends on time available at sound checks and what have you. You know, it's flying by the seat of your pants, really. But we do a couple of months in the States and Canada. So the nice thing is that it'll all be bedded in by then, whatever it is.
And your diary for next year is already filling up. You've got Cruise to the Edge again?
Yes, I've got Cruise to the Edge again, and Japan, Australia, New Zealand, European stuff, and the dates are going in as we speak. So it looks like it's going to be another busy touring year.
One of the things I see online is that people often announce a tour and they say, oh, you're not playing my country, or you're not playing anywhere near me. Never see that with you, though. You actually pretty much cover the world every year, don't you?
Well, we try. You know, I mean, South America, I think they tend to prefer you to tour once every, ideally, you know, 2 or 3 years or 5 years, you know. Yeah, it's a weird thing, you know. I just say I've got, you know, have guitar, will travel, and if we get to do gigs in the States, great. If I get to play at home, wonderful. It's quite nice speaking to English speaking audiences because I'm not that fluent in Japanese. But you know, one makes an effort in whatever country it is to try and say a few words in the local language, and so. But you can't really tell jokes in Japanese. It doesn't really work.
Even if you could translate it, it probably loses something
probably
in the nuances.
Work.
Yeah.
No, so it's all. It just has to be on enthusiasm. And, but it is a great country, of course. You know, Japan, I thoroughly recommend. It's an extraordinary place with extraordinary sights and lovely people, as it happens.
And appreciative rock fans as well.
Very, very appreciative. They're very, very appreciative listeners. They're extraordinary. Mm.
Well, you're going to have a lot of happy fans over the next few months with the new CD and Blu-ray and the tour as well. Steve, it's been absolutely brilliant talking to you again, and we're looking forward to catching you at Southend again. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much.